So we're on take two. We're going to start this podcast a bit of confession that I'm here today with Olga.
Again.
And we've just come back from
a
10K walk.
Yeah.
Only to find that the recording hasn't worked. So we're now sitting in Olga's kitchen and she's very gallantly agreed to have the conversation right all over again. So Olga is one of our Instagram stars, really, but she is a teacher by day and a comedian by night. And there's the phone. Let's go back.
Yeah,
back. The problem with the F word, it's interesting, as I started to do these walks, we were talking, you know, with people and saying that there's a real struggle with people coming to terms and being happy to declare themselves a feminist. And I'm interested to know what your thoughts are on that subject.
I think it's because if you say that you're a feminist, straight away people are thinking, well, you assume that straight away people are thinking, okay, you've got lots of piercings, you've shaved your hair, you're not wearing any makeup, and you'd much rather that your name was Alan. But that's not the case at all. And so I think sometimes people worry about aligning themselves with any particular term for fear that they might offend somebody. And actually, when you break down what the word feminism means, it's actually a very innocuous, beautiful, good, wholesome word that we should all be employing in our vernacular and not kind of tucking it away like it's some dirty thing that we should be ashamed of. And I don't know where this connotation, this harsh connotation, this political connotation has come from. You know, that to be a feminist, you have to be angry and not wear lipstick. And I think it's really sad. But I call myself a feminist because I support other women. And I'm proud to say that I support other women. And I hope when people come to my feed that they can see that I am about supporting other women. Not just talking it, but really walking it. Does that make me a feminist? I flipping well hope so.
Okay, great. And that was one of the questions I was going to ask you, whether you see yourself as a feminist. And you know, we were talking, you know, it's 100 years since women got the right to vote. And, you know, in that time, how much has changed? And yet we're sitting here in 21st century acknowledging, with all that's going on in politics at the moment, how much more work there is still to be done.
So much more. So much more work. And, I mean, if you look at those dreaded rap videos, you know, I know that I sound about 107 now with what I'm about to say, you know, but I do find them horrific. And the way that the girls are paraded in the background in a very submissive way, you know, we talk about, you know, third class citizens. I think women are third class citizens. And what worries me is the fact that we don't even know it anymore. We don't even notice it. You know, be a powerful woman, be a strong woman, achieve things in your life, but make sure you look good at the same time, you know, because that really is what it's about. And I worry for my boys. I worry for males growing up and seeing the way that women are portrayed in media, in music videos, and the subliminal, sinister, under the surface message that is coming out to these young boys, who are going to be our men.
Yeah.
You know, there is so much more that we need to do, so much more journey.
And so on Instagram then, because Instagram is the place at the moment. You think sort of people have left Twitter and droves, and there's much more
engagement.
Mm. Yeah. So what are women? So we it's fine. We can sort of blame the media. We can blame things like rap videos. But you know, some of what gets put on Instagram is of people's own making. Mm. And to what extent is that helping or doing damage? By
I think, you know, there's good and bad in anything, you know, that starts up, that becomes a phenomenon, and Instagram is a social media phenomenon, and there's much that is good and there's much that is very, very bad. And there has been a whole backlash when we had the whole girl gang movement a few years back, you know, that people then said, well, we don't want girl gang because girl gang means that some women on Instagram are being exclusive to one another, and you can be in my gang if you've got the right outfit or if you're coming to the same events at me, you know. And in many ways, there's a lot of women supporting women, but there's a lot of bitching. And I hate this word bitching because we always associate it with women and not men, even though I'm sure men also bitch. But it's a very rare thing to find women who are genuinely supportive of other women genuinely and are not doing it for just for a campaign or for any other reason than just the fact that they love women. It doesn't have to be a campaign. It could just be just what you do. And I think Instagram is wonderful, and there's lots that I love about it, and there are some amazing accounts out there. But as long as we're doing it in real life as well, I think really we just need to not lose our grip.
Yeah. And so who are the women out there that you think are doing a great job of communicating and communicating a positive message about, it may be about feminism or maybe just about taking a fairer, more equal approach?
Well, you know, straight away, Mother Pucker, because if you think of what she has done, she is kind of like a modern day Emily Pankhurst. She would probably say, oh, don't be ridiculous, and would never accept that accolade. But she is. She's inspirational. And the way that she's standing up for what we all want to say, but we're too scared to, because, you know, I wish I had stood up when I went through something similar at my workplace years ago. But she's doing that for all of us. But she's brilliant. But I think we need to now also follow suit, and we need to stand up as well.
Mm.
You know, we should all be doing that. We should all be fighting. We should all be modern day suffragettes, men and women.
Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't just be just, oh, that fight is just for the few. We're all in this.
Mm. And what are the dangers of people like that who are standing up to be counted? What do you see as the...
Well, the dangers are that they get knocked. That you put yourself out there to do something good and you will be knocked as well. Mm. And the thing about women that stand up and do good, babe, forget the men. It's the women. It's the women that are pulling down the other women.
Yeah.
You know, there is so much competition and jealousy that goes on, you know, on social media, where there is that whole kind of voyeur approach where you are looking, continually looking, continually on looking, and then going back to your own life in your own kitchen, in your own fluffy, you know, slippers, yeah, cooking your dinner, looking at your own life. But we need to remember that social media is just social media. And these women that are standing up, these amazing women that are standing up and speaking on behalf of us, they are still just women also wearing fluffy slippers in their houses,
yeah,
looking at their own lives. And we just need to get a grip and remember that social media is just social media, and respect these women but not idolize them. And also we need to step out and we need to be doing the same job that they, yeah, are.
I'm curious as to, because we all run a version of a campaign, what are you trying to communicate out there? What is it you're saying?
Two things, really. One is, it's never too late to achieve your dream. And by the way, we all have a dream. Even those of us that say, oh, I don't really know, you know, I don't really have anything. Within ourselves, we all have the thing that we aspire to do. It's never too late. And secondly, massively, and I hope it comes across, is this whole loving others, but not loving others in a superficial kind of false way, but in a genuine way. So do whatever you need to do on social media. It's easy to put up a kiss, 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 and a I love this, or love this, or love this, you know, which we do, we're all guilty of, and I do it as well. But it's another thing to practice and to check on someone and to look after people where you live, you know. So for me, it's about really loving one another and about putting others first. And I thing that recurs throughout a lot of my posts is that as you put others first, you find, not that you should put others first to get where you need to go, but as you put others first, your heart's desire just seems to come. And I know that when I live this way, I'm blessed. And I know that, I hope that that always comes out, and that's what I really fight. That's my walk, that's my daily walk, and I hope that I can always bring that out on my page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the characters you pick are such a range of, where do you draw your inspiration from?
Everywhere. Life, my mad Greek family, the school mums, God bless them. By the way,
It's not a parody of School Mum. It's a parody of myself. I'm every woman. It's all in me. I'm all of those School Mums. And some. And the VAT. I am all of those people. And they, all the idiosyncrasies that we all have, are, I hope that everyone can find someone that they can relate to. And they're an extended expression of myself.
What difference has becoming a parent made to you in terms of, you know, the campaigns that you run, the person that you are?
I thank God that I became a mother, because for me, it's everything. I love being a mother. For me, when I have times that I'm struggling, I know that the one thing I have achieved and I'm most proud of is my family and my children. And being a mother, as wonderful as it was, I did lose myself totally. And it was back in the day when there was no Instagram, so I could hashtag it, to hashtag this loss, actually. But, you know, having had the three boys, I suffered terribly with postnatal depression. And actually, with the third boy, I ended up having quite a severe breakdown. And I think that journey of being a mother and breaking down and then coming back together just filled me with so much... It was almost like I completely broke down into a thousand pieces. But by doing so, I was liberated, because I came back from something that was absolute hell. And I looked around one day and I thought, I'm still here. My boys are here. You know, I lament that there are whole chunks that I forgot because of the grief and the illness. But you can't break me anymore, and I'm not scared, and I'm not afraid, and it's taken me 43 years to go back to being a five-year-old and to just go back and do what it is that I really want to do. So for me, becoming a parent broke me, but it was probably the best thing that ever happened for me, and it truly liberated me, truly.
And what a wonderful thing to talk like that. And the other thing that strikes me hearing you speak there is that in this journey of being able to talk about things more openly, how things have moved on demonstrably, that however many years ago, people just didn't talk in those terms.
No.
It was something that was held private behind closed doors for you and maybe one other.
Yeah.
But actually, and again, this comes back to the rise of social media, that we are better connected and able to reach out and find communities of help in a way that we never could before.
Yeah, and also, what was mental health? Mental health, it's almost like, I was working with some students the other day and we were talking about how we define mental health. And, you know, mental health is it's about me and it's about you. And it's so commonplace that, you know, years ago we never spoke about it because we couldn't define it and we didn't understand it. But now we're able to talk about it. And it is so important, so crucial, just part of the fabric of our existence. And I think there are people out there that have been suffering for so long that haven't been able to articulate, that are now being able to articulate and put words to the things that they're struggling with, which are important. So going back to social media, that is wonderful, but as long as we don't get lost in the, sometimes I feel, the oversharing and the overexposure and the codependency of needing the likes and the follows and the affirmations, which are great, which I enjoy, believe me, but
yeah,
as long as we also work on ourselves outside of social media and keep our core strong, whatever that core means to you, so that you can continue to be on social media. Because if you're on social media for the sake of being on social media without being fulfilled outside, I think that can then add to bring other problems.
Yeah. So it's about these things in context, isn't it? That social media isn't the panacea that will solve everything, but it's another means of communicating out or getting communication.
Absolutely. And I say this to, you know, there are women that I, my age, similar lifestyles, families who are, you know, perhaps have done that, like me, children are at a stage where they're at school and are saying, oh, well, I want to try this and I want to do this and I want to try this career. And I'm like, have you thought about writing? Have you thought about blogging? Have you thought about creating your work and then putting it online, or, you know, they're like, oh, I'm not that kind of yummy mummy, I'm not that. And in the same way that maybe some of us have gone to the other side, the dark side, there are still so many women that need to be aware that this is for them. This piece of the pie isn't just for the certain mothers with the certain lipstick with the same M&S jumpsuit. You know, it's for all of us. And I am just the same as you, and you are just the same as me. I'm just using a little tiny rectangle and putting pictures of myself in squares. That's the only difference. But I'm using it as a language, and it's a language that you need as well. It's just how people talk.
Yeah, and what another thing that occurs to me while you're talking there is that actually what this is about is courage. And you know, I tell a story of my daughter, which is sort of part of my business. Really, my business is called Purple Shark Consulting, and when I started my own business, I had a lot of conversations about, well, what should we call it, and people that was when I was doing my studies were saying, you know, they were starting their own businesses. It was Inspire. It was, you know, all sorts of, you know,
like The Apprentice.
Yeah, all that sort of thing.
Stealth.
Yeah, exactly. And what am I going to call my business? And it took me back to a memory of when I'd taken my daughter to swimming baths. I'd been staying at my mother's, and in the swimming baths was a large slide, one of these sort of water slides, and you know, which of course kids love to go down, except she didn't. And she stood next to this slide that happened to be bright purple with a huge shark's mouth around the outside of it, and basically collapsed in tears. You know, she wasn't going to go down it, she thought she would die and what have you. And so I sort of crouched down, gave her some words of encouragement, said, look, you know, we'll let you go down, you know, you're going to be fine, your dad's at the bottom, you know, have a go, it might be okay. So in the end, she sort of went down the slide, and I sort of gave her a helping shove behind her, and I could hear her wailing all the way down. Oh. And then she got out the bottom and said, oh, that's great, I'll do it again, of course. And it became a bit sort of family lore. We talk about, as a family, about purple shark moments now, and we say, oh, I'm having a purple shark moment. And it's that point where you need courage, somebody to help you just get through and have a go at something, because the results might be better than you think. And it's a bit like, so that's why my business is Purple Shark.
I love that.
And so that has the story behind it. But it's a reminder also, you know, things like social media or reaching out if you need help because you're struggling with something. You know, but I think for me, we go back to the F word, that feminism is about having courage to believe in yourself, to stand up, to say, to take some risks, and actually if you need some help, to reach out and grab that.
Absolutely.
So as a parent and as a teacher, how does being a feminist help or hinder your approach, you know, in terms of what you see and experience?
Well, I think I do see that in many ways we've moved forward, and in many ways we haven't. I still see a lot of cattiness that goes on amongst girls in schools, and you'd think that we would have moved on, but we haven't actually. In many ways it's regressing and it's getting worse. There are still some very outdated opinions held by boys and girls about what jobs they want to go on and do, about how they see their lives, and in many ways I sometimes feel we haven't moved forward at all. So my role is just to encourage boys and girls to do whatever it is that they want to do, regardless of what, you know, however gender specific they may feel their job is that they want to do. You know, I just try and encourage, not just whether you're male or female, but just encourage you as a person, you know. And it, so I guess it's feminism, but it's encouraging girls to go for their dreams and not constantly checking them. Because I often find in class as well, it tends to be the boys that are the more the outspoken ones. Girls tend to be a bit more shy and retiring when it comes to
speaking out.
I just hope that I can educate and help young people where I can when situations arise. And as a parent, I just try. My husband and I just try and live by example. So, you know, we share jobs around the house. The boys have jobs that they need to do, that they know they need to do in the house. And it's not, a million miles away from when I grew up, and it was the woman does that and the man does that and that's it.
Yeah.
So I think the conversation that we need to be having is not just a vocal thing, but it's an active thing. It's how we treat one another.
So what are your hopes for your boys in terms of their future generation? I'm thinking about the changes that you've lived through, that you've experienced, that you are generating now. What are your hopes for them as citizens? And arguably, you know, we use feminism, it's light touch in terms of everyone has a belief in a fairer society.
I long for the time when it won't be something that we need, that we feel that we need to bring up and discuss. It will just be where things will be taken for granted, that boys and girls can do the same things. You know, the other day I was quite shocked actually when my 8-year-old said, playing football, and he said, "Oh, Mummy, don't worry if you can't save the ball because you're a girl and it's okay." And I was really upset. I was really sad because that's not how we bring up the boys. But he's obviously been absorbing that from somewhere, maybe since he was born. And I long for a time where people just won't think like that. It won't be in our society, it won't be in our televisions, it won't be, because for every parent that's trying to put it right, there are parents that are letting it go. And yeah, I just want them to live in a world where there isn't that differentiation.
Yeah, but some of the challenges are that today most of us live in houses where there are two incomes, so actually as women we're parents but we're also working as well. So we're kind of doing everything. That actually the less time we have with our children actually is less easy to be the influencer.
True, that is true as well actually.
I don't know what I'm trying to say there, but it just strikes me that actually, you know, we see that, we see opinions coming into the house, but and we can't always be there to help them navigate that. And I guess that's a conversation then at the dinner table, if we sit round and eat together, but
I think
not
it just needs to be addressed. But I think it does come from example and what the child sees. If the child sees that, you know, that mummy will pick up their washing off the floor every time. I mean, don't get me wrong, my boys are not angels, but if they see that mummy has said put it in the wash and it's still on my bedroom floor, that they will learn that, you know. But I mean, I'm not a super parent, I haven't got it all right, but it's just the little steps.
Yeah.
And that's just one cog in the wheel. There's social media, there's schooling, there's, you know, textbooks. There's so, 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 so much that needs to change.
Yeah. And that's the opportunity, isn't it? And it would be interesting to see how things change in the next century again. So in terms of, I mean, we are where we are because people have campaigned, people continue to campaign and make sacrifices. Who are the women who've inspired you or who inspire you?
Well, I think I mentioned Mother Pucker because she has been brave and stood up, not just for herself, but for many, many women who have faced discrimination in the workplace. Same with Jolie, pregnant then screwed. I just sort of kick myself that they weren't around years ago when I had my children. But they inspire me to now stand up for other women that need women to stand up for them. I think earlier on I was talking about people like Katie Piper in the media who will still stand up and go for her dreams and has encouraged other women despite the horrific incident that she went through. She, you know, women that take something negative and turn it into a positive, but not only just for themselves but for other women and light the way.
Yeah.
My God. You know, and that takes us back to Emily Pankhurst and the suffragette movement. Women who are different, who stand up, who sometimes get knocked for being different and standing up, but are making differences, you know, for eternity.
Yeah. And differences for huge numbers of people. And And yeah, yet, even though it's dealing with, if you think of sort of what Jolie's doing with Pregnant Then Screwed, her campaigns are touching so many people. And for everyone that touches, it changes somebody's life and what they think is possible. It comes back to that courage piece, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It sometimes just takes, an inspirational post or a direct message that's been responded to, and somebody sees that, and that just transforms and gives them a platform to go ahead and have a go.
Absolutely. And I remember, you know, we co-hosted Pregnant Then Screwed back in Manchester. Was it last year?
It was earlier this year.
And, you know, okay, I didn't have the opportunity to access that when I was going through that difficult situation myself at my workplace, but it did provide me with a lot of healing, and it kind of gave me a bit of restorative kind of justice in that I was part of an event that was giving me back my confidence and made me realise that situation was not okay.
Yeah.
That I had been through that I didn't realise at the time. So, yeah, they touch women on so many different levels in so many different ways, at so many different points in their lives.
Mm-hmm. So on your journey to being where you are and who you are now, who are the people you would want to thank?
Many people who aren't on social media, actually. My husband, for one, who, you know, I sometimes have Greek family members say, "Oh, your husband, what your husband say, you dress like this, you do like that." I'm like, he supports me and he cheers me on. And my children, because even my eldest son the other day, my 12-year-old, we were walking and he said, "Mummy, you've got to keep going with your Instagram." I said, "Oh, but Mummy's old and, you know, it might be too late now." He went, "What?" He said, "Don't talk like that, Mummy." I said, "But, you know, look at the women that are half my age. They're doing much better than me." He went, "Yes, Mummy, but think how much more you know because you're twice their age." You know, and it was just such a wise...
Beautiful moment.
And so, yeah, my husband and my boys, I want to thank them because I would not be standing here doing the funny things that I do without them, because they, by default, this is what I have become.
Yeah.
You know.
How fabulous. But look, and that brings us back to that point about, you know, if we come back to the point about being a feminist and the F word, that the F word doesn't have to be exclusively women, women, by women.
Absolutely not.
That actually we live in a world where we have men and women.
Absolutely.
And we want to work with everybody. And it's not an exclusive club, really.
Oh, absolutely. And a little while ago, I did a post because there were a lot of campaigns on social media about, you know, our girls and strong girls and girls need to be lifted up and it's all about the girls and all about the girls and we need to get, you know, it's all about our girls and they need a voice. And then I thought, well, it is, but we need to educate our boys.
Yeah.
We need to educate those boys. I need to educate my boys to understand and to be respectful of women, because it's no good them doing it on their own and then men are carrying on in the way that they are. We need to engage everybody, you know, and it's a male responsibility and it's a female responsibility. It's not, the onus isn't just on the woman. You know, to be a feminist is to be a supporter of women.
But sometimes we have to take a bit more positive action, which is why feminism can be a force for good, not a force for negativity.
Absolutely.
But feminists, we've got to come in all shapes and sizes, because that's absolutely the reality of what, as women, we are. And sometimes we look our best and other times we seriously don't, but we're still the person that we are.
Absolutely. There is no typical anything anymore, no. I think, you know. All the titles and hats that we wear, all the different roles, they're all a little bit blurred. And that's okay, that's good.
I was going to ask about, how do we give... We are where we are having this conversation today because people have sacrificed, have campaigned, have done things... not for financial gain, you know. We're living in a time where a lot of the time people do things in order to get paid or get some sort of recognition. And my experience, maybe it's a bit about how I've sort of done things, is that when I became a parent, some of that stuff just didn't matter anymore.
Yeah,
and I gave my time to charities, NCT, because it's the right thing to do, and I would help other people, not for any sort of material gain, but just because it's the right thing to do. And so my question for you is, you know, what's your intent in terms of the give back on the back of, you know, we're here because people have done so much for us?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I think as a parent, it's the most altruistic kind of act ever. But, you know, for me personally, I think we spoke about some of the missionary work that I've done, where I have worked overseas, and also just to work with young people and make them feel better about themselves using drama workshops. And I still do those things on housing estates around here and in London. I still am part of that. And also I've done quite a lot of work with the End Flame Trust, which is a North London schools trust that works with young people in schools, helping them with issues such as bullying, self-harm. So my give back is to still be involved in those active community initiatives, but also my give back is I will be brave because it will help you. My give back is I post because it will make you laugh. Not everyone, believe me, I'm not assuming I'm the funniest thing that isn't sliced bread. But I think the nice thing is when people come to my feed that they can see that I'm not endorsing anything. I don't want you to give me anything. I just want you to have a laugh. So maybe my give back, my most important give back is that, do you want to come and sit down on the sofa and just have a laugh? I hope people feel that when they come to my feed, that I just want to make you laugh and I'm having fun. Do you mind staying with me while I have fun? You know, like, so I hope you can have fun too. That's it, really.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
And it's just joyous and uplifting.
Joyous.
And I always know when I come to your feed that it's going to be something to make me smile. And
yeah, just something silly, and never take myself seriously. And then hopefully that makes people feel like that as well.